This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here of the church, and I'm the old Trailblazer, bringing you another study from God's Word, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners as we go forth day by day, week after week, bringing out the gospel, the truth as it is to men and women as they are. And I'm happy to be with you in your homes, whatever time it is, whatever day it is of the week. We own many stations now at night, some in the daytime, some early in the morning. So we're happy to be with you. And we greet you a good morning or either a good evening and in the name of the Lord. We're bringing you a series of studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've been there quite a while now. We have many, many more to go. And I've told you before, Pastor L.R. Shelton, who was our pastor here for 50 years, many years ago, he brought a series of studies on the revelation. Folks are afraid of revelation. Folks, pastors won't talk about it. No, they don't want to talk about it. They say they don't understand it. But Pastor Shelton brought these studies many years ago, and the Lord led me to go through them and glean from them and bring you, thus saith the Lord. And I invite your questions or any comments, and just long as it's constructive. I don't like destructive criticism. But if you would, let me give you my website. Many of you could go there and see much more about the old Trailblazer Radio Mission. It's Radio Missions at radiomissions.org. That's simple, isn't it? Radiomission.org. And then our email address is pastor at radiomissions.org. Of course, we use those WWWs, don't we? But World Wide Web. So if you would, I appreciate hearing from you. We're looking today in our study at the Lost Church, or the church at Laodicea. We've spent quite a bit of time there in that church looking at those things. But I want us to pick up there now where we in the 17th verse, where Christ saw. And notice the condition of this church spiritually. The Lord said, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Here's a picture of a lost church member. A lost church member. Have you ever been lost? The old Trailblazer was lost. Every sinner outside of Christ is lost. He doesn't know it, of course, but here's a picture. He says, wretched, miserable, blind, poor, and naked. And he said, you're wretched. That is, a contemptible outcast. I understand, and I know quite well, that folks won't have this kind of preaching. I know that. Many of our folks, my own folks, my family, my loved ones, they love the smooth preaching. They love, don't ruffle the feathers. Don't step on anybody's toes, Pastor. You'll run off to good givers. Well, my friend, a good giver who is lost needs to hear the truth. He needs to hear the gospel. He says you're a contemptible outcast. Every individual outside of Christ, whether in the pulpit or the pew, is an outcast from God, whether they know it or not. And they're contemptible. He also says miserable. That is worthless. Have you ever been miserable, my friend? Christ, their true wealth, they did not know. They didn't know. Many of our folks today know nothing. I ask folks, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Oh, well, yes, I trusted Jesus when I was 7 years old. Well, my friend, that's not salvation. Oh, listen, you might as well perk up and listen. That's not salvation. What we have now is a deception going on across this nation, especially in our Protestant churches. I don't know about the others, but in our modern Protestant churches, they have a hierarchy that requires so many members a year, so many members a quarter, or they put the rollers under the pastor that he's not doing a good job. They relegate him to some little country church somewhere where there's nothing, no prestige or anything. But so what they do, the preacher goes into the Sunday school rooms and he tells the teachers, now I want to have a decision day. I want you to prepare these children for decision day. And so the teachers preps those children. Don't you want to trust Jesus? Don't you want to give your heart to Jesus? Well, a six-year-old child, surely they love their teacher. They love their pastor. They love those folks. And they say, well, sure. So they have a day set aside for decision days. and they make a decision. And that night, Sunday night, they bring them into the auditorium and baptize them. Mama and Papa comes, Grandma and Grandpa come, and they go in there, and they have the baptistry there, and they baptize them. And they tell them that they're saved. Now, my friend, we're reaping that today. We've sown the wind. We're reaping the whirlwind. That's who runs our modern churches. That's who sits in the pew at our modern churches. Those individuals who ignorantly, blindly believe that they're saved because they trusted Jesus. Based on some Sunday school teacher, some youth leader telling them, you know you ought to trust Jesus. You know you ought to trust Jesus. You know your mom and papa love for you to trust Jesus. And then that's right. That's right. That's what they do. And our churches are filled with those individuals now. They've grown up. In the last 40, 50, 60 years, that damnable thing has been going on in our Protestant churches. And you can take issue with me. You can cuss the old trailblazer. Write me a hot letter if you want to. But listen now. Listen now. He says that you're worthless, unfit to be counted. And I'm ready to spew thee out of my mouth. Now, that's what the Lord, excuse me, I have a little cold. That's what the Lord says about that person who is neither hot nor cold, has no zeal, has no knowledge of Christ. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now, then he goes on to say, we are rich in him over against our worthless condition. Thou art poor. Thou art penniless, spiritually bankrupt, with nothing to buy with. My friend, what do you have? One thing every sinner learns before he gets saved, that he has no righteousness of his own, according to Romans 3:10. I wish you'd go there and read Romans chapter 3, if you would. Read the first three chapters of Romans, if you would. There you'll see that man has no natural goodness, possesses no merit that will pass as an exchange at the throne of God. Every sinner who ever comes to Christ for salvation must come with no price in his hand, must come to buy without money and without price. Then the saddest condition of all, listen, Christ said, is that thou art blind. Thou art blind. You can't see. You can't feel your need. I come into contact with hundreds and hundreds of folks who have no clue, anything to let them know that they are blind to their spiritual condition. Oh, the greatest thing that ever happens to an individual before he is saved is that his eyes are open to see that he has no righteousness of his own. Did you know you can't get to heaven without a perfect righteousness? You can't work it up. You can't pray it up. You can't bury it up or dig it up. You can't do those things. It has to come by imputation, imputed righteousness. And our modernist friends will sneer at that, and they call it imputed nonsense. Imputed nonsense, my friend. You can say that you see, but listen, you can only behold things tangible. You've never been awakened to the fact that you're spiritually blind. Now, every sinner out of Christ cannot see because his mind is blinded by the God of this world. Who is that, you say? Oh, listen, would you listen? Would you go there and read 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 6? Listen, that understanding is darkened, according to Ephesians 4:18. His wicked heart, according to Jeremiah 17:9, is blinded. And then he says, thou art naked. Naked. Thou hast no covering. Oh, my friend, one day, every sinner who never gets saved will stand before God naked. Have you ever been in a room dressing and you thought no one else was around and somebody popped the door open and caught you there without any clothes on? And they slammed the door, of course, and went out, and you grabbed for a blanket or a quilt or something to cover up with. But did you know every sinner is spiritually naked? He has no covering. You say, Trailblazer, what is our covering? It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ poured out there on Calvary's cross. There's only one way. I told my folks in the service just a night or two ago, it doesn't matter what you have. You may be high society, low society. You may be the scum of the earth in the gutter. You may, whatever you may be. You may have riches untold. You may have a penthouse across a river, across a lake. You may have all of those things. But my friend, none of that will pay your sin debt. nothing that you have, nothing that you can scrape together or rake together, the richest man in this world or the poorest man in this world are just alike when it comes to salvation. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed or spread over your sins. You must have a covering, my friend. When the prodigal son came home, he left the hog pen. He'd been there for no telling how long. He smelled like a hog. His clothes reeked with hog. And he got home. And one of the first things the father did was say, get the best robe and put it on him. You know why that is? Do you see anything of the spirituality of that statement? He wanted him covered. He wanted that hog pen smell covered. Oh, my friend, you and I are sinners. We have wallowed in the hog pen of sin all of our lives. And now the Lord awakens us and shows us that we smell like a hog in His sight. We are mistress rags in His sight. We are abomination in His sight. But He brings the best robe, the robe of Christ, His blood, and spreads it over us. And He says, now thou art accepted. Now thou art accepted in the beloved, because our sins are covered. We sang a song here, covered by the blood. I wish I could sing. I'd sing it for you. Covered by the blood. If you want the words for it, you write me and I'll send you the words to that gracious song. I know one of the things that's happening in our modern churches, you can't find a good song book. We have one here that we sang out of about 3 or 4 books. We can't even buy them. They're all off the market. But I'll copy you a copy of that song. Saved by the blood. Our choir sings it here, and it'll make you charge hell with a thimbleful of water, my friend, to know that you're saved by the blood. Not saved by your works. Not saved by your beauty. Not saved by your money. Not saved because you donate your time to the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or dip soup up on Thanksgiving. None of those things mean a thing in the world. Not saved because you have done all of those traditions that some of our churches require. No, you're not saved because of those things. It's only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in these verses, the Lord describes you and me. Thou art wretched and miserable and blind and naked and poor and penniless and without righteousness. That's our condition before the Lord saves us. And we never get away from that. That's why God's child is not proud. Are you proud? You proud of who you are and what you have? You're not saved if you are. You won't be no pride. Won't be any pride in heaven. No, sir. There won't be any big hats in heaven. Won't be any tall steeples in heaven. Won't be any high heel shoes there looking better than the other high shoes. No, those things, my friend, we've gone. We're on a toboggan slide to hell. Our modern day American people have pride and prided themselves so much. Out of even attempting to go to heaven. Pride goeth before a fall. Did you know that? But listen, my friend, it's grace when the Lord shows you yourself. It's not a shame to be lost. I tell you this at this time, it's not a shame to be lost. I have folks who are on professions, and they wrestle with that thing. What in the world would I do if the Lord takes all this little props out from under me, and I have to come out and tell folks that I'm a lost sinner? Did you know the Lord loves lost sinners? That's who the Lord saves. He said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. My friend, it's not a shame to be a lost sinner. You're blessed. You're blessed if you know that you're lost. Cry unto the Lord. Don't cry unto me. Cry to the Lord. Lord, you showed me I'm a lost sinner. Would you save me? You said, the Bible says that you wait to be gracious. The Bible says you're not willing that any should perish, Lord. Lord, I'm perishing. Here I am perishing, Lord. No, come on to the Lord. Throw down that arm of rebellion. Throw down all of that bitterness and all of those things. And ask the Lord to take it from you. And Lord, wash me in the blood. The old trailblazer said, the blood will cleanse away all my sin. And we sang another song. One of the verses said, the blood goes deeper than the stain. Oh, I'm running out of time. This is the old trailblazer. Pastor Albert Pendarvis, would you remember my mailing address? It's the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.